This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
How about some cannabis cafes? Maybe a ban on food dyes in schools. LAX is packed today. Big travel weekend. First, though, San Bernardino County. Big update in the story of the missing couple there.
Yeah, we're going to get a live news conference coming up shortly. An arrest has been made for what's now being called the murder of this couple from a nudist ranch in the Redlands area. Police spokesman tells us the couple's neighbor, a 62-year-old Michael Sparks, was taken into custody. This after cops swarmed his house, used a battering ram to just tear it apart.
We don't know their location or their condition. We have had no contact with them. We've not located them. The last time they were seen was Saturday. We've had canine search. We've had canines search the premises, including cadaver dogs.
So, yeah, he's talking about the couple there. Daniel and Stephanie Menard, both in their 70s, have not found them, but again, presumed dead. And we are expecting that news conference about 8 o'clock this morning.
Man's in custody after being stabbed during an attempted burglary of a home in Winnetka this morning. Suspect confronted by the owner of the home on Elkwood near Winnetka Avenue around 4 in the morning. Struggled. The burglar got stabbed, ran off, found short time later by police. KTLA says the guy was spotted on security video trying to break into multiple homes in the neighborhood this morning. Hospitalized, stable condition.
People are on the roads and they're headed to the airports today. John Wayne Airport, Burbank Airport, Ontario Airport, and of course, LAX. Let's find out how
Long Beach. You missed one.
Long Beach. Nice little one. We like that one as well. Anyhow, LAX. That's where John Barrett is this morning. How's it looking, John?
Well, you know what? During the summer, I saw much worse. I mean, the terminals don't look bad at all. The security line in Terminal 7 looked pretty good. But this is Labor Day weekend, and it's supposed to be the busiest one ever, according to the TSA, for air travel. You know, they're going to be screening millions of people. And so what they're advising, of course, is you've got to get here early. I was talking to James. He's from Highland Park. He's heading to Seattle, but he travels a lot. You know, he knows the drill for sure. How was it coming in? Were you stressed? Are you worried about what time's your flight and all that?
My flight's at like 8, so I just got here 2 hours early, so I'm probably feel overprepared, but I wasn't stressed at all. It's good.
And that is the key. I was talking to a traffic officer who told me people don't get here early enough. I just saw a woman making a mad dash down the sidewalk. He sees that a lot. He also says if you're picking up somebody, do not linger at the curb. You could get an expensive ticket. Wait until they have their luggage and they're standing outside. He said that's really important. And, of course, Mike and Vicky, we always talk about this. I mean, the drive around the upper level right now is 48 minutes. The drive around the lower level, the arrivals level, is 6 minutes. So if you're coming to pick somebody up, go low or go slow.
He says, don't linger at the
curb.
You're
a lingerer.
Oh, I'm a total.
Yeah, she kind of creeps forward just a little bit.
I call that the LAX creep, you know, from terminal to terminal.
Uh-huh.
Just,
The traffic guy, you know, she's coming around. Blow the whistle at her.
Because you don't want to have to go around again and wait 48
minutes. Go to that lower level. Governor vetoed this one before, but they're trying again. Lawmakers approving a bill that would allow the cannabis cafes, kind of like what you see in Amsterdam or a couple spots they got out there in West Hollywood. Right now, dispensaries that have lounges banned from selling anything that isn't prepackaged. But for this bill, it would be a kitchen, other non-alcoholic drinks. Maybe you could book live music or performances. Supporters say big boost to the recreational weed culture. Legitimate businesses could compete with the black market. In the veto last year, Governor said he was concerned about some things. One of them was secondhand smoke.
You know what my older son loves? He loves Takis and Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Yeah, you've been known to eat a few of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was driving back to Los Angeles recently, and he had a bag of them. And I said, sure, give me one of those. And my fingers were all red. So that dye, red dye number 40, yellow dye number 5, green number 3, well, they soon could be banned, at least in California schools. So yeah, no Flamin' Hot Cheetos there. A bill, unless it's on that, you know, black market, a bill headed to the California.
Meet me behind the tree.
Yes, I'll give you the Takis over there. A bill headed to the governor's desk that would ban schools from distributing or selling the products containing 6 common food dyes. A Democrat from the Valley, Jesse Gabriel, he's behind this one, points to a study that links synthetic dyes with hyperactivity and other behavioral issues. Sacramento Bee says industry groups representing the candy makers and others tried to fight against it, saying it would overstep the FDA's authority, but if the governor signs off on the ban, it would kick in the 2028 school year.
20 minutes of nonstop news presented by theloanexchange.com for all your home loan needs. So Vice President sat down for that first interview since becoming the nominee. Harris and Tim Walz with CNN's Adana Bash answering questions on, including several on policy, but people saying this was a little light on that policy. How did it go overall? We talked to the Hill Hill's White House columnist, Niall Stanage.
I heard one analyst say, well, Kamala Harris didn't make any blunders, no flubs, so that was a good thing. You put it this way. You said, Harris and Walz acquitted themselves unspectacularly, but adequately. A modest mission accomplished. Not exactly a five-star review.
No, I didn't think it was really deserving of a five-star review because I didn't think it was a massively impressive performance. But to the extent that the objective was really just to avoid a blunder, as you put it, avoid a gaffe, they did accomplish that. I think from Vice President Harris's perspective, the danger here was it would disrupt the momentum that she has been enjoying. I don't think it did that. So I think she's fine.
So now everybody, what, just shifts their gaze to the debate, which is coming up pretty soon?
Yes, that's right. That's the next big landmark on the road to the White House, September 10th on ABC News. There had been some back and forth, as you're well aware, about the terms of that debate, but it does seem overwhelmingly likely to go ahead now, even though it may end up being the only debate between Harris and Trump in this campaign.
Trump called Harris boring. You have pointed out that for Harris, boring is good. Is she going to stay boring until the election?
Well, it depends in some way what the trajectory of the race is. Obviously, Democrats thought, electorally speaking, they were dead and buried with President Biden as the nominee. Now there has been this surge of enthusiasm. Vice President Harris now ahead of former President Trump in many of the polls. If that trajectory continues, then she won't want to change it. But I would expect her numbers to come down a little, and I expect this to be a very close race.
There's a lot of talk about the evolving positions from her first run in the primaries and didn't really even make it to 2020. And then now she explained some of that last night, saying, look, my core beliefs are the same. Do you think people really center in on that stuff as a huge negative, or do they realize now that politicians are politicians and they change with the wind? And also, Donald Trump has not exactly been a model for sticking to beliefs.
Yeah, those are all fair points. And there is an argument that voters don't really mind flip-flops as long as you end up facing in the same direction that they do. In other words, as long as you ultimately end up with their position, then voters are happy enough. I do think in Kamala Harris's case, there have been quite long-standing doubts about the question of authenticity. That's why she was so underwhelming in 2020. So I do think it's a real political vulnerability for her, but she can try to explain her way out of it as she did last night, and that will be accepted by a certain segment of the electorate.
Yeah, I mean, for the undecideds, in the end, for the Democratic ticket, does it come down to a need for specifics, or are the good vibes that they're putting out there, as some have called them, is that enough?
I think what is almost enough is not being Donald Trump. I mean, there is an enormous swathe of the country who just don't want Donald Trump as president. Now, that's not to deny the fact that there are millions and millions of people who love him. The problem that Democrats had with Biden as the nominee was that his age and acuity were in such question that people felt that they couldn't vote for him, at least some people did. With Vice President Harris, I think the central question for her campaign is she an acceptable choice? And I think we're seeing her trying to expand the universe of people who do find her acceptable by making appeals to the center ground.
The Hill's Niall Stanage.
A Valley Village woman in Los Angeles said she went all mama bear as she confronted a would-be bike thief. And if you're a parent of a Gen Zer, well, there's some new advice on just letting your kid grow up. 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
We got Niall's take on the Kamala Harris interview. Here's Donald Trump's take.
Former President Donald Trump called the interview boring on social media after he unveiled a new campaign promise while stumping in Wisconsin and Michigan.
Your government will pay for, or your insurance company will be mandated to pay for, all costs associated with IVF treatment.
Trump, making news of his own with NBC, criticizing Florida's six-week abortion ban, appearing to support a November ballot measure to expand access.
Well, I think the 6 week is too short. It has to be more time.
His campaign later clarifying he hasn't yet said how he'll vote. Jared Hill, CBS News.
Man who tried to steal a bike from a family in the San Fernando Valley, this is the Valley Village, kind of North Hollywood area, wound up getting chased off when a mom refused to let him get away with it. He walked right into the garage of her place while her son and some friends were working on a project, said, hey, I own the bikes. And then he tried to grab one and just walk off with it. The woman told KCAL News she wasn't going to let that happen.
And my mama bear thing kicked in, and I, you know, ran past him and was like, no, my bike, and fought him over it, which I know is the exact wrong thing to do. But I scared him away.
Yeah, she did. She said the guy said a lot of things, made it clear that he wasn't in his right mind, as she put it, also physically threatened them. But he eventually left, and last word, police were still trying to find him.
Cal State LA and UC Irvine going to work together towards enriching our lives thanks to a $1 million grant. Here's Karen Adams.
The National Science Federation grant will bring the two schools together to advance research in the field of materials science. It will also help set up the NSF Prem Center for bio-inspired and architectured materials at Cal State LA.
It is to increase the participation of students from underrepresented groups and also including women and the minority.
UC Irvine's Xiaoqing Pan calls this collaboration groundbreaking.
It is exciting for Cal State LA faculty and students. It's also exciting for UC Irvine MERSEC faculty and students because our student, our faculty will have opportunity to work with their students. They are from coming mostly from the underrepresented group. And then we help to developing the STEM program. And then also beneficial for those students for the future career.
And if you're wondering what material science is, it's the development and discovery of things like metals, alloys, rubber, and glass used to make our phones and laptops and other things work. I'm Karen Adams, KNX News 97.1 FM.
We're enabling them. Let's just admit it. Parents of Gen Zers, I am that person. I have come to terms with that.
Let them go.
Yeah, we're helping them a little bit too much. We've done this to ourselves. Kathy Whitman reports that experts are saying it has resulted in a generation of overly dependent young adults.
A new Gallup poll shows that young adult Gen Zers are feeling the need to be perfect, creating negative emotions and anxiety. Conversely, parents are increasingly feeling the need to micromanage their kids' lives. Dr. Deborah Gilboa, a family doctor and youth development expert, says this is a generation of people struggling to step out on their own.
A lot of the issues are the constant feedback that they face online and higher rates of anxiety.
And the parenting mentality to monitor every step is unhealthy. A survey by Resume Templates is even more surprising.
28% of them said they had brought a parent on a job interview, not just gotten a ride to the interview, but actually brought them into the interview.
Young people should be allowed to make their mistakes on their own. The best advice?
Focus as a young adult on trying, not succeeding.
I'm Kathy Whitman, KNX News 97.1 FM.
NASA's got a date set for the Starliner, you know, from Boeing. The capsule will come back from the space station without the two astronauts who took it up there. It's going to fly back empty September 6th after the agency deciding too risky for these astronauts because of the problems with the thrusters and the other issues. So they're going to get picked up eventually by SpaceX. 20 minutes of nonstop news. Idlewild's cute. Carpinteria's cute. Ventura is super, super cute. There is this list. World Atlas has it. 11 cutest small towns. And we've got the deputy mayor of Ventura on the line with us, Dr. Jeanette Sanchez Palacios. Probably have some coffee looking out going, ah, this is nice. I love it here.
Saying to herself, I'm so glad I'm here. Jeanette, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Friday. How did you know?
It is so fun to do just a happy story. And it's funny that this came out because I was just talking to someone recently about Ventura, about how just sweet it is and what it's just a great place to go visit. I bet it's wonderful to live in. Were you pleased that you guys made the list?
Oh, my gosh. I have to say, I'm not surprised. I think many of us have known that little secret for a while now, and it's just great that our small town is getting noticed and people are recognizing how wonderful it is here, and we love it. I'm really thrilled about it.
What are they like? You got the pier, you got the theaters, you got the cute little restaurants.
Yeah, you know, I think there's like a little bit for everyone. You mentioned theaters. You know, we have a great professional theater company, the Rubicon here, that's been here for more than 25 years. If you're an outdoorsy person, you know, we've got trails and hills to hike, the Botanical Gardens, you know, Harmon Canyon, and we've got the Cross at Grant Park. And just even, you know, as you walk along the streets, we still have a lot of green space and avocado and citrus orchards and, you know, things that you don't find anymore. In bigger cities. And so we get to enjoy this every day when we live here. So it's been great.
Yeah, I saw something about the park system. 33 parks, more than 800 acres of open space, award-winning schools. Let's say I wanted to leave the city of Los Angeles and scoot on up there to Ventura. Could I buy a house?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, housing everywhere is, you know, is minimal. We've got this housing situation going on, but I mean, I feel like still Ventura is certainly more affordable than a lot of other places that have beach access, that have hiking trails, that are, you know, a pleasant place to be in. And it's hard nowadays. You can't find a good neighborhood or a safe, you know, space to live and raise your kids. And I think Ventura is still one of those quiet, kept secrets, but maybe not so much anymore.
If I don't want to live there, no offense, but if I don't want to live there, is there an effort to be more of a lure so people will, you know, stop? Because a lot of people will kind of pass you on the way up to the Central Coast, but they won't stop over. How do you get them to stop?
I know, and that's been for years that happens, right? We've got our competition up north and then down south, and in between, it's us. But I think that having, you know, the Summer X Games have helped give us a lot of attention. But we also have our historic pier that's now reopened, and people get to enjoy a nice walk along the beach. They go to the pier. There's food that they can get there. And along with all of that, I think just being able to enjoy, you know, the small shopping that where you find unique gifts and stuff. So there's just a little bit of everything for everyone here. And I think that is what calls people to us now, and they get to enjoy it, and they get to see what a great town we are.
Well, you know where we are. Will you send for us?
We congratulate you there in Ventura.
All right, that's the deputy mayor there, Dr. Jeanette Sanchez Palacios.